In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Very Reverend Father, Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst. Well, this weekend we celebrate the Holy Fathers of the Fourth Ecumenical Council. And it's interesting, people in the world would look at the epistle that we read today and would apply it to what they were arguing about, or what they were debating, what they were discussing in the council. It's from St. Paul's letter to Titus, and it says, "Titus, my son, the saying is sure. I desire you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to apply themselves to good deeds. These are excellent and profitable to men. But avoid stupid controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels over the law, for they are unprofitable and futile." I remember hearing once someone say that they were talking about theology, and they talked about, the theology that divides us. And I was standing next to a young man who was quite sharp, and he actually said, "Well, it's really our theology that binds us together. If we don't believe in Christ, if we don't believe in the Holy Trinity, if we don't believe in these things, then we're not united. We are united in these common beliefs." And so people might look at this ecumenical council where they were talking about something that was very, very important. What they were talking about was the nature of Christ. Basically, all the ecumenical councils had to do with who God is, whether Christ was truly divine, which they determined, yes, they didn't determine. The Holy Spirit told them, yes, he is truly divine. And then in this one, whether or not he was still truly human. Because they had established that, yes, he was truly divine, and he had a true humanity. But a couple of the heretical teachers were teaching that his humanity, in a sense, was dissolved in his divinity. As it said in the reading from this morning, that like a cube of sugar dissolves in water, that his humanity was dissolved. Well, that causes a couple problems. First of all, if he's no longer human, then we're not saved. We're saved because he took on our nature and redeemed it. Only that which he has taken on is saved. But secondly, the other thing that this causes a huge problem is, who is that on the cross then? Are we saying that God died? Because if his human nature didn't exist anymore, that's exactly what's being said. So these are important issues. They may seem like we're picking nits, but we're really not. These things that they were discussing here are important issues. So it's interesting that for the ecumenical councils, this verse in Titus is chosen, where Paul was telling us to avoid genealogies and stupid dissensions and quarrels over the law. And here's something where they quite often don't really get it right in our translations, is they don't capitalize the law. Because what they're talking about here is they're talking about the Torah, they're talking about the law, and especially the law that had developed around the commandments of God. I believe I've said this before, but at this point in time, there were literally hundreds of laws to make sure that people were following the Ten Commandments. My favorite is that you're not allowed to spit on the ground. Because if you spit on the ground on the Sabbath, you're moving dirt. You know, the spit may roll a little bit, it moves dirt, and so you're doing work. Absolutely ridiculous. And so this is what he's talking about. He's talking about quarrels about things that don't matter. And here's the really important thing. When you look at the lives of the saints, when you read the lives of the holy elders and whatnot, you see that they focus on the one thing needful. Like Christ himself said that Mary has chosen the one thing needful. He is the one thing needful. We don't have a whole lot of dogma in our church. It's kind of surprising. People would expect with everything that we have that we have books and books of dogma. But what we have is we have basically the creed and the teaching of the councils, that faith that has once been delivered, that has been handed down, that's literally been tradition, that's been handed from the apostles. That's the faith that we hold. It's our belief in the Trinity, our belief in the dual natures of Christ. Those things are the dogma. And then we also have holy tradition that is small t traditions. There's this great, somewhat sad story of this group of people who come to one of the holy elders, and they say to him, I don't even remember what the argument was, but they say to him, "Well, Holy Father, you know, we say that this is the way that this is done. Whether it's how many matanyas that you make before you venerate an icon, or whether it's when a certain psalmody is sung, whatever, it doesn't really matter. They say, we say this is how this is done. And the other group says, well, no, we say this is how it's done. So what is the Orthodox teaching? What is the Orthodox tradition? And with a tear in his eye, he says, unfortunately, this is the Orthodox tradition, meaning that we fight over stupid controversies. We fight over things that we shouldn't fight over. And that sometimes happens with small T traditions. It's easy for us to get wrapped up in some of the things that are done in this community or that community or whatever. But it's also just in everything in life. In everything in life, what we should seek to do is we should seek to hold tightly to the one thing needful. The one thing needful is Christ, and loosely to everything else. When we have strong opinions about things that that have nothing to do with Christ, all it does is it causes dissensions. We should seek to follow Christ in all that he does and all that he says. And what did he say? He didn't say, I came to lord things over you. He says, the Son of Man came not to serve, but to be served. And then we, as those who follow him, who as Christians, meaning literally little Christs, should seek to do the same thing. We should seek to follow him. We should seek to show our love for him by seeking him, his kingdom first, and really only. That's really the only thing we should seek, and all those other things will be added unto you. That's not to say that that we can neglect our families and not work or anything like that, but instead, in seeking him, he will show us that which is for his glory and that which is not. And when something comes up that we want to hold tightly to, some opinion, some thought, some view that, oh, this is the right way to do this, or this is the right way to do that, we should make the sign of the cross, and we should follow the teaching of the church. There are things that the church says, this is the way you do things. We should follow the teaching of the church, but ultimately we should always seek to submit ourselves to Christ and to those around us. We should submit ourselves one to another, as St. Paul tells us, and that is our salvation. As I've said before, we can be condemned alone, but we're only saved in relationship with one another. And what a wonderful thing this is. What a wonderful opportunity we have to show the world the love of Christ. In the gospel today, it says that we're a city set upon a hill. What does Christ also tell us? He says, the world will know you are mine by the love that you have for one another. And that is how we truly honor him, is by loving him through loving one another. And that is the light that shines, that the world will see and say, what is this? What is this hope that you hold to? And it's through that we work out our own salvation, the salvation of those around us, to the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.